Hey, it's your favorite sports talk show in the DMV, the Sports Junkies.
We're talking DC sports and having fun, chopping it up every day on the radio.
You can hear us every morning on 106.7 The Fan.
But did you know our show is also a podcast?
You can get every episode, every hour, and every single highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
And whenever works for you.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search the Sports Junkies, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Good Friday afternoon, and welcome into Grant and Danny live on The Fan. We are at Spanky's Shenanigans in Leesburg. We will be here all day long from 2 to 6:30. Trying to make sense of what we saw last night at Lambeau Field in Green Bay, where the Packers looked like the varsity squad and the Commanders looked like the JV club. 27-18 final, game was not that close. 27-10 with about 3 minutes to play in the contest before a garbage time touchdown for Washington. Danny, as exciting as week one was on Sunday against the Giants, and as optimistic as everybody felt, I sense that same amount of pessimism today after a real butt-kicking at the hands of the Packers, who out-coached and outplayed and just manhandled Washington in all phases. But here's what I'm going to tell you. We are here to call balls and strikes. That's what we do on this show. And this was not only a ball. This didn't miss right off the plate. This bounced at 45 feet. You know, this was a high pitch that went all the way to the screen from Charlie Sheen in Major League, right? We'll break it down from all angles. I'm not really going to ride the week-to-week wave, though. In the same way that I wasn't claiming here comes a Super Bowl run after they pummel the Giants in week one, I'm not going to sit here and make this a referendum on the rest of the season that suddenly they're not a good team, that now they're a 7-8 win club. I'm just not riding the wave like a surfer. I'll talk about this game, sure, and it was ugly and it was bad and it was the worst we've seen Jaden Daniels, and it was Cliff Kingsbury's worst game with the Commanders, and it was Dan Quinn's worst game as the head coach of this team. It was really, really ugly. The worst part about it, though, was the injuries.
The injuries.
I mean, that's where, sustainably, I won't ride the wave, but Austin Eckler's not coming back through that door this season. He's lost with a torn Achilles, almost certainly. We now know Dietrich Wise with that torn quad, one of the best dudes in the locker room. Big, important presence against the run. He's not coming back. That is my concern. That is my frustration. In addition to just getting worked over and getting your butt kicked, they lost some really key pieces to injury yesterday.
100%. And here's the thing. For the... It's just week two. No one say anything because it's week two. Yeah, I understand that. I would have loved to have played this game in week four. I would have loved a different rest situation for Washington, et cetera. And I don't know if Green Bay is going to be this good in December or in January. Nobody does, right? There are ebbs and flows. Remember when a couple years ago Arizona was undefeated out of the block and they couldn't be beaten, or Philadelphia was unbelievable before they collapsed down the stretch. A million things could happen between now and then. But here's what I know from last night. This was an exposure game where the reason I thought they would be 0-2 to start the season, grateful I was wrong, the Giants are terrible and they were manhandled, the Giants are way better than them, but was what we saw last night, how sluggish, sloppy, without many counterpunches that offense was. Green Bay's defense is excellent. I just saw what they did to Detroit. I saw what they did to Washington. If you aren't on your P's and Q's, they will beat the brakes off of you. We saw that last night. But you compound that with the extra layer of all those injuries for integral players, I mean, really, really meaningful players, you saw how they might be limited defensively. Their pass catcher still wide open. Whenever anybody wanted to, they could get a dozen yards against Marshawn Lattimore, or they could go to Tucker Kraft. Choice is yours. And offensively, they couldn't protect. Josh Connolly got exposed again. Again, it's a tough intro. It's a tough opening, but there are weaknesses right now. And then you mentioned the injuries that they're going to really miss Wise. They're going to really miss John Bates for the time that he's out. And they're going to really, really, really miss Austin Eckler.
I hope John Bates can be back for the Raiders because he's sneaky, so important for them. When he wasn't available for the rest of that game, that's when Connerly really got exposed.
Yep.
That's when Micah Parsons had 6 of his 8 pressures in the second half. And they just had no answer because they couldn't keep one of the better blocking tight ends in the league in tight in formation there to help out their young tackle, who has been thrown to the wolves. And by the way, this is not an excuse, right? Connerly struggled against the Giants. He was worse against the Packers. This has been a really rough first two games.
Yeah, these are great opponents. These are. They are.
He's going to be a good player. I think there's actually a conversation to be had sometime early next week going into a matchup now with Max Crosby and the Raiders. I'm not an Andrew Wiley guy per se, but I don't know if you can keep doing whatever this is right now with this young player who, at least to this moment, has not quite been ready for the bright lights. And if you're going up against a team with a starting edge that is not on the caliber of a Micah Parsons, a Max Crosby, a Brian Burns, okay, fine, let's throw Connerly out there. But with Crosby coming to town next, I think that's a real discussion that has to happen. But there's so much blame to go around here. It was a game, the antithesis of a week ago against the Giants, where I just felt like we could sit here and just name players and give out game balls and everybody did something productive, and it felt like this complete effort. The offense wasn't perfect, but you know, they're a play away on a miss to Terry McLaurin against New York from 500 yards and 30 points. In a day where we're all saying that's a C effort, right? The defense was incredible against the Giants. This is kind of the inverse of that.
Yep.
Like, what worked? Who thrived? We're going to do game balls and gassers in a few minutes. Who do we possibly give those game balls to? If we're looking for a list to start with on a positive front, Tressway almost didn't play with an injury. And then he averaged basically 47 yards net per punt. He dropped a couple balls inside the 10. He had a 55-yard punt to open the game that pins the Packers down to the 6. Now, they go 94 yards to score a touchdown. And on two different drives in this game, they went 90-plus yards to score, something that has only happened three other times in all the other games in the NFL early this season. But Tressway, who was hurt all week and barely got to practice, was awesome. I thought their return units, again, were incredible.
Yeah, Lane had a great one. Samuel did as well.
Deebo Samuel had a 50-yard kick return. That's why he's back there. And Jalen Lane had a 23-yard punt return and averaged 17 on return. So on both kicks and punts, they had a really clean, really impressive performance. I thought their coverage units were very solid again. You can't say special teams were good because you might have a kicking problem. Matt Gay missed two field goals from 52 off the crossbar on the right and from 58 wide left. We were on the couch last night in my basement. We did a live watch on the 106.7 The Fan YouTube stream. If any of you check that out, thank you. And we should also say thanks to Ryan,
yeah,
who was the mastermind, and then Toby and Darius, who after hours came out and hung out with us. Chris Russell came by.
It's a lot of fun, man. I appreciate everybody participating, being willing to do that, sacrifice, you know, their evening. And those that watched and were chatting it up and having a grand old time with
it
us. It was really cool.
You and I, like, you on air more so, me behind the scenes, were pretty cynical about this. Like, just kind of how few people would care or why we were doing it. It was a smashing success.
Yes, it was.
And a lot of people seemed to like it. And a bunch of people even, like, unsolicited just sent money in the YouTube that probably goes to Odyssey that we'll never see. But that was nice of them.
Yeah.
Like, people were just being very kind and
really
cool. I bring this up, though, to say we're sitting there on my couch. And my initial response after the second miss was, I'm not willing to say they have a kicker problem with Matt Gay because these are 50-plus. And somebody brought up the point, and it's so true. In today's NFL, 52 is now like 44, 45.
Mm-hmm.
That just got to be a field goal you make. 58, as crazy as this sounds, you're probably not going to attempt very often, and that's more of a 50-50 proposition. But most of the kickers around the league are going to drill that kick. And if you look at his last 2 years in Indianapolis, Matt Gay missed 14 field goals, Danny. 11 of them were 50-plus.
Tells you the story.
He basically struggled from anywhere beyond 49 yards, which is not going to cut it. So you could say kicking an issue. The defensive front, we said we're going to find out. Was that about the Giants? Was it about the Commanders? It feels like it was more about the Giants today. But that's kind of the end of the road on the positives. They got outcoached. They got outplayed. I just thought Matt LaFleur and his play calling completely worked Dan Quinn and Joe Witt. And on the other side, this guy Haflin is going to be a head coach. What about this theory? I think Kingsbury has roasted a bunch of the NFL longtime defensive coordinators with this new college-y type offense, not a pejorative, just what they're doing. I think Haflin, who came from college, had all the answers for what they wanted to do with Jaden Daniels.
Seemed like it. Yeah, I mean, you look at that. That zone they ran, which was in a couple layers, they basically had four guys flat at the 10 to 12 yard mark. And then a couple guys running deep to capture different thirds. Basically going, I know where you want to go with the ball. Our guys are going to be in your zones, right? And occasionally they would go man, and they could lock up guys like Noah Brown and Jalen Lane couldn't separate at all. I mean, they got an issue there in that regard. This is now the blueprint. Now, not everybody can get after the quarterback the way that this group is going to. But, I mean, to me, that was one of those, there's no mystery here. We got it. We might give up a couple things underneath. We might give up a couple dump-offs to Deebo Samuel or Eckler, or, you know, and as you and I suspected before the game started, they'd be able to get some stuff to Ertz here and there, And, you know, he capitalized one time, had a great catch and run. Actually thought he played really well, especially when they were down big enough. But
that's a good point. Ertz is the player of the game.
Yeah.
Because the catch and run for a touchdown.
It was a really nice play.
Didn't look like Zach Ertz. That's 14 yards of yak making a guy miss.
That's
six for shimmy, 64.
Yeah.
He had a game.
Stopped on a dime, turned, powered to the end zone. Really good play. But, I mean, to me, looking at the other side again is defensively. And this is why, again, it's not just about this one game to me. Everybody who's wants to tell you it doesn't matter, I'm going, hold on, not so fast. What was their offseason plan? What do they want to do? Improve the run defense. And everybody had a chorus, and everybody shared how important that was, and it was the biggest thing since sliced bread. You got to improve the run defense. They held Josh Jacobs to 3.4 carry. I will take that every time. Green Bay handed the ball to Jacobs 23 times. Every time they did that, it was a favor to Washington. Thank God they did that. They could have had infinitely more yards through the air. They had a design. They had a scheme. They had a concept where they would go, whoever Marshawn Lattimore is covering, we'll put him in motion, and it's easy pickings. It's cheating. Lattimore was exposed last night. All he's done is commit penalties and give up catches. Benjamin St. Lattimore is here. Congratulations. That was, to me, the most telling part. Everybody who saw that, and that's America, that's every coach, is going to go, oh, that's pretty good. That's a nice concept.
To this point,
I'll get after that.
Lattimore after the game, I thought, kind of took the plan to task a little bit if you saw his quotes where he said, look, they just ran man beaters. We were in man. And it's true. We talked about this while we were watching the game constantly. Early in the game, they picked on him by just bringing receivers, normally Wicks, across the formation in motion. Instead of passing receivers off and just staying on a half of the field, Lattimore was traveling all the way across the formation, running man. That's what happens. And so a couple of times, before he can even get over to the other side of the formation, they're snapping the football and running outbreakers away from him quickly to the sideline in quick game, and he can't get close. So some of that was they had a really good plan and they schemed it up. But that's not all it was. He gave up a very deep completion in this game. Had nothing to do with motion. He says he got pushed. I think you thought maybe there was
a push-off.
But it's, you know, this is now, I think it's five. It might be six penalties on him in two games.
Yeah.
I know it's at least five, though.
I need though, my guy making near $20 million a year.
Yeah.
To not go, oh, they ran man beaters. Please cover the dude that had 39 catches last year. Please be able to do something about that guy running wild on your ass. They ran man beaters. You make $20 million. Cover that dude. How about that? How about it should be an advantage the way it was for them against us?
Right.
They're going, the secondary that was beat up, that was the weak link. Everybody you talk to from Green Bay will tell you, hey, that's not the strength of our program. Didn't look like it last night. Blanking it over Jalen Lane. Blanking it over Noah Brown. That wasn't an issue for them. I need you to do that as a marquee high-level player, allegedly, to Dontavian Wicks, please and thank you.
Well, speaking of guys that make a lot of money, if we're going to go the route of what I call the remember the Titans takes of like, hey, you want to be a star? You better give me a star effort, Petey. Mm-hmm. Right? If we're talking about money, Daron Payne, $26 million, highest paid player.
Uh-huh.
Sang his praises all week. Looked
he
like
was great in week one. He was.
A all pro in week one. Milk carton in yep. this game for the most part. And in fact, didn't get on the stat sheet until the final drive with a assisted tackle on a run. Now, that position, there's times where you can be effective enough and you're not on the stat sheet. I think he even did draw a holding penalty at some point. But it was a game a lot more like the last 2 years for Daron Payne yep. than this one. Terry McLaurin held out all of training camp. I'm a number one wide receiver. I want to be paid like a number one wide receiver. Rumors are Buddy Baker's asking for $40 million at one point. He is through two games now at 75 yards, which, by the way, shockingly, is more yards than he had through two games last year because he got off to a really slow start. But my issue here is the Packers' corners are their underbelly. Mm-hmm. That is the soft underbelly of this team. If you talk to Matt LaFleur, if you talk to Hafley, and you give them some truth serum, if you talk to anyone who covers this team, they will tell you the secondary is the issue. Now, you wouldn't have known it last night because Washington's receivers could not get open. Terry McLaurin did not separate, could not beat these guys. I don't know who Nixon is. Number 25. I don't know who that person is.
That's the greatest living cornerback as far as I'm concerned. That
put him in a damn gold jacket. He was on Washington's wideouts last night like blankie on my son when he goes to bed. They had no room. Even Noah Brown, who did some okay things other than drops at the end of catches, like he has got guys draped over him. They couldn't get anybody free. A couple of the little crossers and drags middle of the field for Debo, notwithstanding. There was no separation at all until late in the game when they hit Luke McCaffrey down the field for 19 yards and no one was around him. I don't remember plays where Washington got loose, got free. And Terry McLaurin, 9 targets, 5 catches, 48 yards. If you look at the QBR on throws to him, the percentage of completions on throws to him, Danny, even when he was struggling through 2 games last year, it was more of a usage target thing. They're not hooking up, him and Jaden. They're not on the same page.
Right.
It's almost like, almost, maybe not doing anything with him all summer probably wasn't the best way to go.
Yeah. I mean, as you go through, he went through this preseason, right? Went through the training camp and the like. The reports or the observations from guys that were out there, I know you were out there some, but for a lot of folks that were there on the daily, it's, yeah, the offense hasn't clicked yet. Anyway, here's the next reporter. Here's the next person. Here's the next thing. And at some point, you got to play well. And again, that's why I go back to my hypothesis about this season, about how they would start. I hadn't seen them put anything good on paper yet or on film yet, whatever you want to call it. And they still haven't just yet. I do think better days are ahead. I don't believe that Terry McLaurin and Jaden Daniels won't be able to connect at all. I don't think that's now a slam the gavel, that's the end. That's not the case. But early on, it is the case. Early on, this offense has not been sharp. Early on, I don't know if it's predictable. I don't know if there's not certain things available. I don't know if they can call stuff that goes a little bit further than that zone where the Green Bay had set up. Right? They were either in man or that kind of zone. Again, 4 across 10 yards
away. They couldn't last night. They couldn't protect.
And they couldn't protect.
By the way, we haven't really talked about Jaden Daniels. So it's 2 games now. Nothing's changed about how I feel about Jaden Daniels, how everyone should feel about Jaden Daniels.
Yeah.
He's a special player. He's got a chance to be an elite quarterback. He can win from the pocket. He can win with his feet. Last night, the Packers did what pretty much no one could do all of last year, which was keep him from running the football. And I do believe when you do that, that is going to be how you make him look pedestrian. Yes, he can win from the pocket. And yes, very frequently he will. But this was a game. They were so rare last year. Frankly, when he didn't have a broken rib, I don't even know if there was one, where you just kept waiting for him to make a play. And I don't even know that it's fair, right? But if he is going to get the $250 million, if he is, we're talking about him in the class of Allen and Lamar and Burrow and whatever, then at some point I need you to elevate and to kind of just drag everyone into the fight a little bit. And you kept waiting, and it didn't really happen. By the end of the game, by the way, let's not forget, he was limping really badly.
Yes.
I think that's kind of being forgotten today. Jaden Daniels with ankle, knee, whatever that was, he did not look healthy at the end of the football game yesterday as he was limping around.
I think there's something going on there.
He took a lot of shots. The pass protection gave up a ton of pressures. Connerly individually allowed 9 pressures last night. But this was statistically, this is not an opinion, I'm just giving you, I'm literally telling you the numbers here. This was the worst game of Jaden Daniels' career in yards per play, downset conversion rate, explosive play rate, success rate, EPA per play. This was it. It's the worst game they had under Cliff Kingsbury. I mean, if you look at the metric of percentage of explosive plays, they have not had a game this ineffective since the start of last year with Kingsbury. A lot of that was the O-line getting their butts kicked.
Yep.
But the blame goes all over the place to me. You know, in terms of accuracy, Daniels has not been at the level of last year through 2 games. I think some of that is time on task in the summer. They didn't play a snap in the preseason. I hated that. I'm not trying to sit here and be the guy that just confirms my priors, but I have to wonder if that could have helped a little bit as I watched Green Bay, who played 2 preseason games, be in rhythm. And then the defensive front. You know, where were any of those kind of impact moments from a week ago? The Packers did not have 2 offensive linemen among their starting 5.
You wouldn't have known it.
430 net yards. Jordan Love going for almost 300 on 19 completions. Did they touch him? You know, they had the 2 sacks, one of which he kind of gave up on, 13 yards behind the line of scrimmage, and Armstrong two-hand touched him down. But other than the 2 sacks, there was only 1 other hit on Jordan Love all night. 1. So it's frustrating today. I'm not going to sit here and pretend like the team's terrible.
No.
Or see that they're really, last year was a fluke, they're going to go 7-10. You know, I was driving in listening to B. Mitch and Finley, and a caller was like, who'd they beat last year? And, you know, the Lions were hurt in the playoffs. To me, this is not time to do that. If they lose 2 weeks in a row after this to the Raiders and the Falcons and they look like this, we can have different conversations.
Mm-hmm.
I think you leveled up against a great football team that whooped you.
Yeah, it's a reminder, you're not there. Now, will you be there at some point this year? That's the goal. I think it got harder with some of the injuries they just experienced. And it was my biggest fear coming into the year about some of the good fortune they had at, you know, for the oldest roster in the league. They kind of got away with it last year. And early on, it's not necessarily a one-to-one. Who knows if Austin Eckler was 23, would he have torn his Achilles? Or if Dietrich Wise would have been injured that way if he was, you know, 22 years old. I have no idea. But the point is, an older roster, there is a correlation that often happens. And they got away with it last year to a high degree. So, yeah, the road got tougher. But it's the league, and you know, you got a little bit more time now to lick your wounds, respond, hopefully clean some of that up with some good practice time. And I would expect them to be much better against the Raiders for two reasons. One, the Raiders are not the Packers. They're not terrible. You got Pete Carroll and company to not be terrible by design. But you need to be a lot sharper on offense. A lot sharper on offense. That to me is the most essential part of this. They have not done it this season yet. That's preseason. That's training camp. That's now through a couple of weeks. Where this team's bread was buttered last year has simply not been there yet.
So I'm going to talk out of both sides of my mouth for a second, because I keep saying, like, this was a bad game. I'm not going to let it be a season referendum kind of thing. Here's the other part of that, though. I don't think we can underscore enough how big of a loss the Dietrich Wise injury is from a leadership or run-stopping standpoint. His size is irreplaceable on the edge. They have this plan that can only work, essentially, if you have a guy like that helping you to stuff the run. I think that is a massive loss. And Austin Eckler on offense is a huge blow for them.
Huge.
I guess Jermaine Nichols becomes your two-minute, four-minute guy catching the ball to the backfield. We're about to find out if Bill can be a receiver. What's he like in pass pro? But Eckler's incredible in pass protection. He's an awesome leader on offense. I mean, those are really significant L's that you took yesterday in terms of not having those guys around. Way, way bigger deal than the outcome of any one game in September, in the second week of the season. You know, it's September 12th. Like, you can lose a bad game. That happens. It's those two losses where those guys aren't coming back that kill you. One more thing on coaching, because, again, I can't come back to this enough. I just thought in every way they got out-coached and just their plan looked bad.
Yeah.
And they got – at every turn, the Packers were two steps ahead of them. How is it possible that Austin Eckler had twice as many carries as Ja'Cory Kroski-Merritt after what we saw in week one from Bill? How is that possible? I'm not sitting here pretending like I wanted them to run the ball 30 times. They tried to run early. It didn't work. I wanted to go spread 11 personnel in quick game. So I'm not beating them up for not running it more. But you had 12 carries between those two guys. And after a game in which Bill proved he's pretty dynamic and made a lot of guys miss and did some really cool things, he gets four of the 12 carries by running backs? What is that? Like, how was that the idea going into the game? We'll use Bill less. And I don't think that's what they thought before kickoff, but it's what happened. He got four chances to help you yesterday. Eckler got eight as a running back and then another two as a receiver.
For me, the coaching part that I care about even more is the end of the first half. That's an area where they dominated last year, going 2-for-1, ending the first half with the ball, starting the second half with the ball, the old Belichick Patriots double play, double dip right there. I don't know what they were doing. I don't know what that was. Second straight week, by the way, with some dubious clock management there that's kind of reared its head. Where, again, end of the first half, you know, Daniels throws against the Giants, throws the ball away, ends up with a intentional grounding penalty. Well, that should have been or shouldn't have been. I didn't quite understand what the plan was there when they could have spiked it, could have timeout early. They've wasted timeouts. They've squandered them in a couple different sets of circumstances, including the second half last night. I'm not loving the operation and management there as well, which to me is imminently more controllable. Plans, you put them together, sometimes they don't work. That's the league, I think, sometimes. That, to me, is a controllable, fixable thing that needs to be.
I thought that the end of the half was symbolic of a very conservative mindset all night long, where they kind of, I don't want to say played not to lose, but they played it like Green Bay's better than us. We got to keep, let's hang around and wait for them to make a mistake. Like, to me, that was the mentality. Mm. Whereas you saw against the Giants, they played like a bully. We're going to go in there and whoop them because we're better. I thought the end of the half, you're going, let's not give them the ball back. Let's not burn any timeouts. Let's make sure they can't do anything better than what we can do. It was a very conservative, nervous way to go about it, and I think that showed up in other ways last night as well. Game balls to the best, gassers to the worst. We'll get to that next on Grant and Danny. Remember, we're in Leesburg, so if you're in the area, we would love to hang with you today. We're outdoors on a beautiful day under the tent at Spanky Shenanigans, where they've got some of the best blackened shrimp in the area. Toby's going to have to eat 50 pieces of it today. We will go Toby versus Terry as well next segment on The Fan.
Hey, it's your favorite sports talk show in the DMV, The Sports Junkies.
We're talking DC sports and having fun, chopping it up every day on the radio.
You can hear us every morning on 106.7 The Fan.
But did you know our show is also a podcast?
You get every episode, every hour, and every single highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
And whenever works for you.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search The Sports Junkies, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
It's a Tell the Truth Friday on Grant and Dan. Might also be a Tell the Truth weekend. Tell the Truth Monday. There's a lot of truth to tell after that one. That was a butt kicking. The Packers are good, by the way.
Yes, they are.
I know we said all week long, like, oh, they're probably one of the best teams in the NFC. Maybe this is the top contender to the Eagles.
Right now they are.
I'll go further than that. This team's better than the Eagles right now. I watched Philly against Dallas. Maybe I'm overstating one game, but if they played the Eagles this weekend, I would expect them to beat Philly.
I would too.
I don't know what their major flaw is. To me, the wild card is going to be Jordan Love, and just can he protect the football, which he's done this season. Still no interceptions. By the way, the Commanders do not have a takeaway through two games. They also haven't turned the ball over, but they have zero takeaways through two contests defensively. That's going to have to change moving forward pretty clearly. You just heard Toby's update. Toby versus Terry is one of the big storylines out here at Spanky Shenanigans today in Leesburg. So last year we came. We weren't familiar with the bar. We're not from Leesburg. This is a place, by the way, that I would live at if I lived out here. I'd be here a bunch. But they have some of the best black and shrimp you'll ever eat.
I mean, it's incredible.
And so we realized, ramping up for this show this week, that we all like shrimp, and they're very nice about bringing us trays of shrimp, one after another.
Turner's.
We had an opportunity here to make Toby put his money where his mouth was a little bit here. Or in this case, his shrimp eating where his mouth is.
Yep.
He's a big Terry guy. We said, how about, you're the biggest Terry guy at the station. You're rocking Terry McLaurin jerseys all the time. You go head-to-head with Terry McLaurin based on how many receiving yards he has. That's how many pieces of shrimp you have to eat at Lucky's on Friday. Now, he was kind of hoping for Terry to go ham sandwich.
He literally said, I don't mind if he goes for $1.40, which is a lot.
Luckily for Toby, that did not happen. 48 yards for Terry McLaurin on five catches. So I bring in Toby now. You need to eat 49 pieces of blackened shrimp today, Tobes. Can you pull it off?
Yeah, no question. I think that Terry gave me an underwhelming performance last night, and so I'm going to give a good performance today and eat 49 shrimp.
Where are you at right now? I see you're leaving the tails so we can count them.
Yeah, we're down 10 to start.
You've already pummeled 10 shrimp?
Yeah, we're already down 10.
All right, we only have 39 more shrimp to
That's
go,
Toby's
ladies and
music.
Gentlemen. Now, Terry did take it easy on you.
He did.
A little bit. But it's not like this is 14 shrimp. These are blackened, they're buttery, I don't know what else is on them. I do think it's going to be harder than it sounds.
Yeah, I don't think when I get to that, 40 mark, I think I'm going to start feeling it a little bit. But, look, I mean, they're fantastic. They're a little bigger than I was expecting. So
that's always a pleasant surprise when that happens.
Yeah.
Oh, the shrimp.
Things I'm not quite used
Sometimes
to.
Sometimes you don't think it's going to be as big, and then it shows up, and it's like, whoa, that's a big
wow.
Correct.
Look at that
shrimp.
Thing.
Yes, it is a
the
little
shrimp.
Bit. Was much larger than I was expecting, but 49, I'll be able to get through it.
My personal record at my absolute fattest, Tobes, was 50. Now, these are jumbo cocktail shrimp situations,
right,
so the chilled. I did it at a brunch at the Metropolitan Club, and I also had a regular breakfast before I noticed that nobody was eating from the raw bar, which included the scrimps, and I did five plates of 10, and the people that were with me were embarrassed. So my point is, I think you do this today.
I was going to say, what is your confidence in Toby pulling this off?
He's incredibly confident. It's kind of that young person energy that Ryan usually has.
Yeah.
Where he's like, it's no problem. I've already done it twice today. And you kind of go, are you sure about that? It might be a little difficult. I actually believe in Tobes on this one. I think he will rip through 50.
He's going full Clary. Thank you for saving that.
Yep.
I lifted up my computer to show Toby on the camera, only to then remember that I'm using a different camera today.
Yeah.
So it didn't quite work anyway. But if you're watching on the 106.7 The Fan YouTube stream, we will get Toby eating shrimp for you on camera at some point. But 49 is the number you're chasing today. I think he's going to be okay. Let's give out some game balls. They will be scarce, I would imagine. And some gassers for yesterday's performance against the Packers. You can call us now at 800-636-1067 to give out a game ball or a gasser if you'd like. I'm going to start fittingly with a gasser. Josh Connerly allowed 9 pressures last night. I like the kid. He is athletic. He's going to be a good offensive lineman in this league. We said before the start of the season, Brian Burns, Micah Parsons, Max Crosby, that is a 1927 Yankees murderer's row of edges to deal with, and they threw him into the deep end, and it might be time to send the lifeguard in right now. It is not going very well through 2 games. I got to give him a gasser.
Game ball for me, Darius. As you know, I'm a very positive person, and I always start with the positive. Zach Ertz thought he played well. Thought he had an opportunity to do so, and he did. 6 catches, 64 yards, a touchdown. Little vintage Zach Ertz, if I can say that. Little catch and run, little shimmy, little shake, and then some power into the end zone. One of the lone bright spots for an offense that really struggled.
I'll take a game ball as well. Return game. Mm-hmm. Deebo Samuel, 50-yard kick return to lead off the second half, give him some momentum, set him up in really nice territory on the plus side of the field. They didn't end up quelling, you know, that momentum and necessarily making it count, but he provided a spark. And then also, Jalen Lane, as a receiver, has struggled a tad to finish when he gets open and kind of in-breakers and slants and stuff. He's kind of doing body catches, and he's allowing DBs to play through him and break up the football. He's got to attack the ball a little more with his hands, I think. He's making some adjustments to a fast game in the NFL. So as a receiver last night, he ended up with 4 targets and only 1 catch for 2 yards. But as a punt returner, he was splendid. That was as good a punt returning performance as they've had in years. Had a 23-yarder, average 17. So I like what I'm seeing from Jalen Lane.
One more game ball, please. Deebo Samuel. He did Deebo Samuel stuff. 7, 44, another touchdown. This is their effective offense right now.
The touchdown was pretty, by the way.
Yes, it was.
It looked like he was supposed to be stopped 2 different times at like the 6 and the 3, and he scored.
Just did the thing that Deebo Samuel does. When he smells the end zone, you're all going with him. He's going to that end zone. And you already mentioned the good return.
Gasser. Coaching staff. I thought the plan on defense, which did not work, didn't give them much of a chance as they never really adjusted. They're running man beaters. They're getting Lattimore moving across the line of scrimmage. At some point, let's figure something else out. They didn't necessarily do that. And on the offensive side of the ball, while I'm going to sing the praises of Cliff Kingsbury more often than not, I bet, this season, this was the ugliest that we've seen. I keep coming back to this idea, and I want to give Benjamin Solak of ESPN credit for this, because I actually saw his initial question this week that got me thinking about this. But he tweeted out again yesterday. He said, I'm really interested to see how Jeff Hafley, that's the coordinator on defense for the Packers, plays the Washington offense. Cliff gets the drop on so many NFL lifer DCs, but Hafley just saw so much college-style trickery at BC. I expect Green Bay to be better against tempo, pony personnel, RPO, screen stuff. And boy, was he right. I mean, Hafley had them read like a book.
That is correct. Gasser, please.
Gasser.
Marshawn Lattimore, exposed and picked on. Marshawn Lattimore, exposed and picked on, but at least he committed penalties. Benjamin St. Lattimore.
800-636-1067. You want to hop in, 800-636-1067. We're giving out game balls and gassers. We are live in Leesburg at Spanky Shenanigans. Grant and Danny on the Fan.
Hey, it's your favorite sports talk show in the DMV, the Sports Junkies.
We're talking DC sports and having fun, chopping it up every day on the radio.
You can hear us every morning on 106.7 The Fan.
But did you know our show is also a podcast?
You can get every episode, every hour, and every single highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
And whenever works for you.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search the Sports Junkies, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
I mean, we got 10 games, 10 days to our next game, so there's nothing to dwell about it. You know, it's early in the season. I wouldn't expect anybody in this locker room to hit a panic button. We faced a really good team, and we came up short, so we're moving on to the next game.
With Danny, I'm Grant. This is The Fan. Welcome back. We're in Leesburg at Spanky's Shenanigans. We'll be here until 6:30 tonight watching Toby eat shrimp. Terry versus Toby. And Toby's very confident right now that he can surpass the
lot of swagger
output of 48 catches from Terry McLaurin in shrimp consumed today. We're giving out game balls to the best and gassers to the worst. We're taking your calls at 800-636-1067. We'll get back to the phones in a moment. Danny, you get one more gasser to give out to the Commanders after one of their uglier performances at the Quinn era last night.
You already touched on it, but I want to double down. A gasser for the coaching staff. Most specifically, whoever made the decision about the end of the first half, overmatched, overwhelmed, confused. It looked like very Ron Rivera type style, where you're not really sure what the plan is or what the goal is. You're just sort of going by the seat of your tuchus. I hated that. If the idea wasn't to give the ball back to the Packers, they got the ball back. And you were lucky that Brandon McManus missed a field goal. I mean, that was his was more makeable than yours.
Let me ask you about this, too. If you remember, that 58-yard field goal was on a 4th-and-4 from the 40. So the reason that they elected to kick it, I'm guessing, is because if you don't get it, you're giving the ball at the 40. But you've got a kicker who has quite literally throughout his career really struggled on kicks from 50-plus. That is testing the limits there all the way back to 58 yards. They went for that 4th-and-4 from the 40 all of last season. They were 23 of 26 on 4th down. They have the guy that we call the cheat code at quarterback in Jaden Daniels. I was stunned. 4th-and-4 from the plus 40 at the end of a half, and they elect not to do that. I think there's more reason to go for it and potentially give them the football there because you run a little bit of clock on whatever play that you're running anyway. And on top of that, if you're kicking it, you're already acknowledging that they might get the ball at the 40 as it is.
They didn't use any timeouts.
Zero. They took all three of them with them into the half as if they got to keep them for the next quarter.
They got the football back at their own 43-yard line, 1st and 10 with north of 2 minutes.
Yeah.
Despite not deserving to be in the game, you could have been right there. You could have stolen some points for that, God forbid, a touchdown, and then getting the ball back to start the second half. And a game that you should be dead on arrival or on the mat, you could be right there with them. Instead, use the full play clock, march down, or march the play clock down. No urgency, no timeouts, no hurry up. A couple of running plays mixed in there with a false start, which also is inexcusable in Laremy Tunsil. He should get more veteran days off, by the way, during preseason practices. And then you set up that bizarre field goal decision. I don't know, man. That didn't look like a real prepared offense to me.
There was another really bad sequence as far as timeouts went where they burned a valuable timeout in the second half to save a 5-yard penalty on a delay of game.
With 14:26 to go in the fourth quarter.
But then the next play was the false start.
Yeah.
Where they lost 5 anyway. So you quite literally go, oh, we can't afford 5 yards. Sure you can. 5 yards is so much less important than keeping that timeout in the second half of a game where you're trailing. But they make the bad decision there to save the 5 yards. And then they come out of the timeout and immediately commit a false start to lose the 5 yards anyway. I mean, that is the bang your head against the wall kind of stuff that was happening inexplicably for a team that we think is pretty good. And I'm not going to allow yesterday to change my big picture season-long thoughts, but it was ugly, and the injury losses that piled up were significant. Let's go to the phones, 800-636-1067. Let's go to Jason, who is in Richmond, listening on the Odyssey app. What's up, Jason? How are you?
Hey, what's up, Grant? What's up, Danny? How
you
doing?
Good, man.
So I got. I guess my game balls. I get those out quick. I get those to Debo and Zach Ertz. Both of them look, you know, the same people we expected them to be this season. But my gassers, I got four of them. I got Ken Norton Jr. I got Larry Izzo. I got Anthony Lynn, and I got Coach Bobby Johnson. Bobby Johnson. That's self-explanatory. You know, Connerly thing. Ken Norton Jr., I feel like there's some favoritism going on because there's no way he seen us getting diced up the way we were and he kept Bobby Wagner out there on 3rd and 25 or 2nd and 25, whatever it was. Then you got the running backs coach, Anthony Lynn. Why isn't Bill getting more carries or at least splitting carries with Austin Eckler, who was ineffective yesterday, and he ended up getting hurt because we played him too much? Then special teams coach, I feel like he should know that his kicker wasn't going to be good at 58 yards. So those are my gassers.
Thanks, buddy. A good rationale to
kind
of break down the opinions there. I love that, backing it up with your thoughts. On the offensive line, he mentioned Bobby Johnson, OG, as they call him, the O-line coach. Josh Connerly, 9 pressures allowed. Nick Allegretti, 5 pressures allowed. Tyler Biadasz, 2 pressures allowed. Brandon Coleman, 4 pressures allowed. Laremy Tunsil, 3 pressures allowed. Other than that, I thought everything went well in pass protection.
Other than that, they were pretty crisp.
It was so much different a week ago against a more talented, more star-studded front. Now, I'm not suggesting Green Bay's isn't elite, because it looks like they are. A lot of first and second round picks. Bringing in Micah Parsons is a game changer. But, man, was that rough, you know, in that regard yesterday. He also mentioned linebacking. Maybe my favorite player on the team is Frankie Luvu. I love Frankie. I don't think he's had a couple of good games here.
Is he where the season has begun? I mean, he has done nothing at any point.
He's missed several tackles in space and just has not had anywhere near the impact that he was having, certainly early and throughout last football season. Let's go to Kendall and Brandywine on Grant and Danny. Kendall, how are you? Appreciate the phone call.
What's up? Hey, buddy. What's up, brothers? Man, I got so much to say on the game, but game ball to Ertz and Debo, only two players who did not play scared. Everyone else played scared, and the coaches all coached scared. And that two-minute drill was an abomination. They were scared. They stopped believing that they could win the game, which they couldn't win the game, which really gives to my overall point. I think what we saw yesterday was we are not equipped to compete with the Green Bay's, the Philadelphia's, because we are old and slow. And I think this whole bring Jaden in, he's a stud. We have this window to compete before he gets his deal in 3 years. So let's bring all this, trade all these draft picks, let's bring in Marshon Lattimore, Tunsil, and all these people. When Green Bay is showing us, no, that's not what you do. You build. You get young. You get fast. We're old and slow. And so I think we'll still win 10 games, but we're not serious right now. And we won't be until we can get some young studs, some fast young guys in this team. But right now, man, that was very disheartening. And it's not the end of the world. I still think we're going to be a decent team, but we're just not on Green Bay. We're not serious. We don't have a serious championship window right now with the roster that we have right now.
Thank you, Kendall.
Thank you, buddy.
I'm not ready to go hard in the paint on that take just yet. I certainly understand where you're coming from. After watching that game yesterday, it looked like they went up a weight class and got shellacked and didn't really belong. But, you know, I wonder if you play them 10 times how that looks. I know that sounds silly to say today. I do worry about the injuries. And I've been worried about the age and injuries all offseason. And that was, frankly, my biggest concern with this football team. Here's what I want to do next along those lines, though. Of the things that went really bad last night, what do you dismiss as it happened, I'm not going to spend time losing sleep about that? And what do you actually think sustainably is a big problem? Like, where are you worried about what happened last night becoming a norm? I want to get into that. We're in Leesburg, so if you're in the area out west here in Virginia, come on by. Spanky's Shenanigans, eating shrimp, enjoying ourselves as best we can after the result last night. You're locked in to Grant and Danny on The Fan.
Hey, it's your favorite sports talk show in the DMV, The Sports Junkies.
We're talking DC sports and having fun, chopping it up every day on the radio.
You can hear us every morning on 106.7 The Fan.
But did you know our show is also a podcast?
You can get every episode, every hour, and every single highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
And whenever works for you.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search The Sports Junkies, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.